Some bead work.
Do you make corn soup or?
Yeah, I know how to make corn soup. Corn soup and fried bread. I think I made corn bread only once.
There's a lot of people that don't even know how to make that, though.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why we're asking to see exactly how many people are actually knowing how to do all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people on my reserve that they're just teaching them how to make it now. Like I knew as a little girl, but I lived off the reserves for so long that I even forgot. My mom sort of brought it back to me.
Yeah, my mother used to make it all the time. I didn't used to bother making it when she was alive and bring me some corn soup when she made hers. And then her mother did too. Like, I remember when her mother used to make corn soup and she just liked to go over there. And she used to make cornbread too. I like cornbread. You can see it around very often. I never make it anymore. I made it once for a demonstration at the school I did one day.
It's not hard. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like, we had one over at the center in London, and it took an awful long time.
I haven't been making crafts that long. Like, my mother didn't teach it to me. I learned.
What made you interested in?
Must have been about 20 years ago. We had a lady come down from Cape Croker, like for an adult education program. And we got money to pay her for 2 weeks. She came down, she stayed down here for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And we had classes every day.
Who was this?
That was at Patronella Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
You know her?
Yeah.
Well, she was a good teacher.
Yeah.
And then she showed us how to make corn necklaces and beaded necklaces. And she didn't teach us actually any bead work, you know, like edging and stuff like that. I learned that after. But she taught us how to make moccasins and just how to work with leather, how to cut it and everything and stretch it and how you get the most out of your materials. And so after the 2 weeks was over, we had about maybe 15 in the class. And after it was over, there was only three of us that make moccasins. And the rest of that were in the class, well, I guess some of them are, you know, they're gone now, but the younger ones, there are some others that could do it, but they never did it.
What do you think about the Native culture itself? Like, how do you feel? Do you feel that it's still alive, or do you feel that it's slowly dying out, or, like, you yourself, how do you perceive it?
Well, I guess it is dying out because there aren't that many people that are doing it.
What do you think that's the cause of this? What's causing that? Is it people just don't want to do it? Or?
Well, there's not too many people like around here that do any kind of handcraft at all, you know. There was a man that did axe handles and things like that. And he died, and I guess his son does know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
how are the materials? Are they easy to come by or hard?
Well, what I use, it's okay. Like for the leather and beads, and things, I pretty well know where to buy them. But I've been collecting things for so long now, and then I guess I probably got more interested in it after my daughter-in-law, her mother did crafts, and they lived in Detroit, and she they did dancing and everything, and she had her kids dancing, and they used to put on performances, and she used to go out and speak about Indian culture. Mm-hmm. And then when my daughter-in-law got married, when they lived here, they started the powwows. And there's my two daughter-in-laws, one is from Kettle Point and the other one's from Detroit, that knew all about the powwows. So that first year, we decided to have a powwow, and then there was another lady that married into the reserve, and she was from Wisconsin.
Mary?
No, Eve, her name was. And the three of them were on the powwow committee, and that's when we started our powwow. That was the first year. And they knew all the dancers and the drummers who we could get, so they went to Detroit and looked for drummers. And
it was really good. I was here for the first
time. Yeah. And so they really, I thought they did a good job of working on the committee, and they knew all about what the powwows were, and we didn't know anything about it. We didn't know what all they had to have and what you're supposed to do for them when you invite them in. But we learned a lot from those girls.
What and about the color, the meanings of the beads? Do you have certain designs that you use? Or
no.
You don't know?
When you were growing up, did members of your family do craft work?
No.
So nobody did. Mm-mm. Do you remember as a girl seeing any kind of craft work done by other people on the reserve?
Just baskets.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother used to make baskets. My grandfather used to do woodwork. And but in our own family, like my mother and father, they didn't do anything like that. And my grandfather used to work with willows, and he used to make furniture, like chairs and tables, and used to make us bow and arrows every time we asked him. And different kind of toys out of wood. And my grandmother used to make baskets, and she'd always make us a little basket if we asked her to, and she showed us how to make them. I think I could put them together if I had the material to work with.
What kind of baskets? Ash or sweetgrass? Or
no, they were ash. They were splint baskets. We learned how to make sweetgrass baskets too. We had a lady come from Walpole, and she came down for, it's been about a week or so. No, she came down for a few weeks, two nights a week, and she brought the sweet grass with her, and we had a good class in that, too. There was must have been a dozen. Mm-hmm. Of course, our baskets are kind of crooked. But and my daughter-in-law could make them pretty good. She made some after the class, and she sold them. But then now she's working out every day, and she has children, so she doesn't have time to do crafts, and but she can do them, and she can do good beadwork and leather work too, but she just doesn't have time, and she doesn't
what
do it.
What made you interested in Native culture like yourself? I'd like to know what brought you to that point in your life where you wanted to learn beadwork.
I don't know.
Were you
it was just that I enjoyed doing it, I think.
Uh-huh.
Like when we went to the classes, the first thing I did was I dressed little dolls, Indian dolls. And I really like doing that, and I used to dress them all the time. I still do.
Oh, yeah.
But then I started doing other things like moccasins and a few beads. I didn't work too much with beads, though. I could make necklaces, but I never really got into doing the beads because my eyes would get too tired from this little bead, so. And then I always had my daughter, my two daughter-in-laws, to do my beadwork for me.
Oh, yeah. So you were lucky then, eh? We should get the names of your daughters-in-law, because they're here on the reserve, too?
Yeah.
And who are they?
Myrna Stonefish. She works in the band office.
Oh, yeah, we've heard about Myrna, yeah.
Yeah, she does really nice beadwork, and she's really speedy.
Yeah.
And Cheryl Stonefish. And Kathy Snake, she works in the band office too. She's a receptionist. You probably met her the other day.
Yeah.
She can do it too, but she doesn't because she says she's too busy. I take her a bunch of moccasins once in a while for, and she beads them for me. When I can find her sitting still, she's busy too with the kids.
It's hard. What are the parts of Native culture that you see as the most important to hold on to or to bring back if they've been lost?
Well, we've been trying to bring back the language, and I worked on that 15 years ago. And we couldn't get enough interest, you know, from the people to do it. We had language classes on Saturday and at night. And when we started, we had a real large group. We must have had 25 or 30 that came out. But they gradually dwindled down, you know, and they just quit, I guess. I don't know.
So language to you is really important.
I think it's important because there aren't that many that know the language. I don't know it. You can imagine how many people that don't know it that's younger than I am.
Do you know Alina Stonefish?
Yeah. That's my sister-in-law. Were you over to see her?
No. What type of... Does she do beadwork
too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does beadwork and she does moccasins, dresses dolls, makes other little things like pins and things like that. Well, I think it's just, the culture of the reserve has changed, you know, since we were kids. It just isn't the same like it used to be. The people were different. Well, they seemed like they helped each other more. They were more neighborly, I think. And if, a lot of them did farming. Everybody grew their own food and everything. Otherwise, they'd never survived because there wasn't any jobs and there wasn't any money. So mostly everybody had a garden and everybody pretty well supported themselves. And there wasn't any such thing as welfare. So you had to survive and you had to learn how to survive. And everybody helped each other, like if... one farmer needed help, the other one would come over and help them. They'd change work with them, and there wasn't any money involved in it.
Do you ever feel it could go back to the same way if people really wanted it to?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. We've heard that on a lot of reserves, that, you know, people don't visit as much, they don't help each other as much, they're more isolated.
I guess there's probably too many places to go. Where, I mean, you have cars now, and you can get out and go somewhere, and nobody seems to have time to visit. I know I don't myself, and I said when I retired I was going to go visiting. I think I've been across the road about a half a dozen times in the last 2 years. And I never see the lady next door to me. She's home alone, too, most of the time. And the one across here is alone. I think she gets angry with me because I never come over. And she doesn't come over here too often either. But I'm supposed to be healthier than her again.
What do you feel you can do to preserve the beadwork or any kind of Native culture that's on?
Well, I think they... we should probably have some classes or something. Or, like, we have it in the school. Our kids get it in the school. They learn how to do beadwork there. And we probably should hold classes on the reserve for people that are interested. I have my grandchildren over here. They help me with beads and things. One is only 6 and the other one is 8. I have them working for me now and then. making necklaces.
I wonder what it would be like to have a class instead of just having, because what I've heard is that there's either a class for adults and then there's a, you know, maybe the kids learn at school that's separate.
Mm-hmm.
If families could come together where maybe mothers and daughters, and instead of just, you know, separating them out, maybe
mm-hmm.
if both members of a household were doing it, a mother and a daughter would be more likely to continue on and each one help the other.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody in our family, like the three families,
mm-hmm.
and when I used to go, I still go to a craft show in London before Christmas, and they have a real big craft show,
mm-hmm.
and I always have to have a lot of stuff done before I go. And when I first started going, well, I wouldn't have so much, and I'd call up my daughter-in-law and tell her to make me a dozen mugs and for the next day, so she'd be busy working half the night to keep me going. But now I get ahead. I've got my things ahead more because I know where I have to go and sort of plan it out.
Mm-hmm.
But she's really, the Myrna's really speedy at making moccasins and doing beadwork. But she's done it ever since she was a kid,
do
like
you have
her
a
mother.
Phone number for her?
It's 3618, 3619. Had a new phone put in. It's not the same as their old number.
Or 19.
3618 or 3619. Were you talking to her already?
Yeah, I was talking to her. When was that? We were down Monday.
Yeah.
And we just have to make an appointment.
Yeah, it's better to call her at work for an appointment because they're traveling out every night too to ball games and. They're not home that much in the evening either. The boys are, her husband plays ball and one of the boys, and he's running the ball team for the kids this year, so they're busy.
We talked to Arnett Timothy on Monday about the corn project.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the response of people on the reserve to something like that, where something was lost as being brought back? How do the members of the reserve feel about that project?
I think they all think it's pretty good. I think it's a good idea. It could be a good business, I think, if they keep it up.
Do you see more people returning to vegetable gardens and whatnot since the project started? That was one of the things she said she hoped would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Be more small vegetable gardens and more canning and whatnot going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know what used to interest them, everybody had a garden and something that did probably give them some incentives too was that they gave prizes for their gardens. They had, for the kids in the family, they used to give up a little kit of seeds to each kid that wanted to grow a garden, because my sister and I always had a garden each, and my mother had her own garden, and we had to look after it. Then they had a corn project. They gave you enough corn to plant an acre of corn, and then you had to look after the corn, and they judged the plots, and there was a place where you could take the corn in the winter fair or something. And you got money out of, you know, both times you did anything with it, they paid you, and it was nice to get your own money.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there was something like that started, maybe that they were given the seeds to plant something, especially if you give it to the kids, they'd see that their parents had some place for them to plant it.
Terrible cities with vacant lots, and they mark out a plot of land for children to do it and supply them with the seeds and whatnot. And it's
mm-hmm.
amazing that nobody vandalized it or wrecked it in any way. When you were, did you go to school here on the reserve?
Yeah, I took grade 8. Then I went into Ridgetown. Went to school there 2 years.
How was that as a Native person going into Ridgetown? How did you find your days in school?
Well, you sort of spent your time by yourself, especially me, because I didn't mix very well with anybody. I didn't make friends very easily.
That's hard to believe when I was how easy you are.
I was really bashful, backward, and I just didn't make friends. So I put my time in at school, and I survived for 2 years.
Were there many from the reserve who went in with you?
There was another girl, and I went. The year I went, there were just the two of us, and she quit at Christmas time. And there was two boys, I think. And one of the boys didn't go too long either. They went 2 years. Mm-hmm. Well, there wasn't very many. There's only about four of us.
Yeah, that would feel very lonely going in.
But, we had to stay in town.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. And I went to board in town.
Did you have to find your own place when you boarded in town, or did the reserve find it for you, or was it already set up?
No, we had an Indian agent or something, and I think he was the one that got the place. And then the second year, that's why I quit, because the second year, my grades weren't good enough, and the department wouldn't pay for me to go to school again.
Oh, yeah.
So that was it.
So did you ever continue your education after that?
I never went back to high school, but I went back to school when I was, 48? Went to Fanshawe and St. Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
And I took a clerk typist course in upgrading, and went there for 6 months, and then the social counselor course opened at the university. So I applied in that one, and I went there for a year. And since then, I've just taken short courses here and there, Sinclair, University of Windsor.
The crafts that were being done years ago, maybe when you were smaller, do you remember any of them still being done today?
You mentioned the baskets. Or
the only thing I remember were the baskets. I don't remember anyone doing any beadwork or anyone making moccasins. No, I don't remember any of those either. I don't even remember any Indian dancing. I never saw any Indian dancing until it was Myrna's mother that came to the fair 1 year and brought her kids to dance there. And they were just little wee guys. And she was giving a talk about Indian culture. And a lot of the people wouldn't even listen to her. They were sort of making fun of her because she was talking about the Indian culture. And she was, she was trying to do something to get them interested, I guess. And a lot of them, they wouldn't even listen to her. They just sort of laughed at her, thought she was...
How long after that did they get involved back into the culture?
They didn't until... it must have been when we started doing a few crafts. And when we had our first powwow, probably. And when the kids went to school in Ridgetown, they had a cross-cultural program they're supposed to have. So the person they hired was supposed to go in and teach the kids beadwork and different things. So they sent her on a course to learn how to do beadwork, because she didn't know how either. And she worked there quite a few years, and she still didn't know how to do it when she quit, but she was teaching the kids. And I said, the people were worried about the white kids learning things, and the Indians